a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. If you missed the plant of the week at the top of the hour, Jupiter's Beard, Carlos, our new producer, has now put up an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page that I hope you'll check out. Ton, our next listener is asking, they say they have an autumn blaze maple tree. It has cottony maple scale. They're wondering how they can treat it themselves. They've had a tree service do it in the past, but it's like $100 a treatment. They only have a few spots right now.
Are you there?
I'm there.
Okay,
I'm
here. We're here.
Wherever
sorry.
I am.
So I didn't get what you just said. So will you repeat?
Okay.
Sorry.
This listener has autumn blaze maple with cottony maple scale that they've had treated before by a tree service. But they just have a couple of spots right now. They want to treat it themselves because it's costing them $100 a treatment. How can they do that?
They can. There's a couple different options. They can try to just scrub it off the tree using just some dish soap and water. And you know, just to wash it off. That would be one option. And then another one would be if it's getting out of hand, they can actually go get a systemic and treat the tree themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be the two different options, that either a systemic that you'd put into the ground. It should have been done about a month ago to really be effective, but they can still do it now. Or if it's just one or two little spots, get an old toothbrush or an old brush with some soapy water and just scrub it off the bark.
Okay, when you say a systemic, exactly what should they look for?
Something, when they go to a garden center, it will say along the lines of season-long tree and shrub insect control or season-long insect control. And it's mixed up in a bucket and then just poured around the perimeter of the tree or shrub.
All right. They say that the tree also has iron chlorosis, and they want to know what to do for that.
So iron chlorosis, it's a little late to treat the soil. I've tried treating when it's hot on maples and did not have success.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would need to be treated to be really successful more in mid to late March. They would use chelated iron, and you would mix that up in a bucket of water, almost like a systemic, and then just pour that in the drip line of the tree under the canopy. So right now, if the tree's not too big, they could try a foliar spray when it's cooler in the evening or early morning to see if that would help out. But the main time to treat is going to be next year.
All right. Let's take a call from Merrill in Taylorsville. Good morning, Merrill. How can we help you?
Good morning. The lot from my home is about 900 square feet, about 1/20th of an acre. And I plan to remove most of my lawn and cover about 40% of my property with 3 to 4 inches of wood or rock mulch to retain moisture for my trees, shrubs, and flowers. And I want to keep the mulch about 2 to 3 feet away from my home foundation. And I have old pressure-treated 2x8 lumber that I'm thinking of using to make 14x14-inch pavers to make mulch, placing the mulch through for pathways on the furthest areas away from my home. However, my friend told me that termites can tunnel up to 300 feet from their nest site or swarm into an area, and that any type of mulch, whether organic or inorganic, will create a favorable moist environment and increase the risk of improving conditions for termites to explore the area and colonize it should they find it, regardless whether the termites consume the wood mulch or not. But what are your thoughts?
Well, do you live in an area that's had problems with termites?
Not anybody I know near me have had termites that I know of.
It's not that you won't get them. But termites will go into areas where they're is opportunity for them to tunnel in. And so what you would look for, say they were on your house, you would see mud tunnels going up the foundation because they don't like to be exposed to the air. And so on those termites, lots of people are using wood mulch and just having zero problems with them. I usually see termite problems in homes that are over 50 years old, especially near rivers and streams where there are cottonwoods and willows and box elder trees that give them habitat to live. And so if you don't live near a river or a stream and your home's fairly new, and especially if it's built in, you know, the sagebrush country, then I just don't think that there's a huge risk.
Okay. That's good to know. I appreciate that.
All right, Meryl, thanks for your call today. Next listener, Ton, says their dog has dug foot diameter holes in their yard. I want to know if it's better to fill it with soil and then reseed, or put soil and then top off with sod.
The sod would be quicker. Just it's a little easier to get established in hot weather. What they're going to be looking at is that the sod will need to be watered twice a day for a couple of months in the morning and evening until it can generate roots down into the soil. Now, the other thing they're going to need to do is train the dog to not dig those holes and give it a place to dig, or somehow exclude it so that it doesn't keep happening.
Right. Or they're just going to be doing this over and
yes.
over again.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a call from Riley in Eagle Mountain. Hi, Riley. What is your question this morning?
Hi. I put in a lawn a few years ago, and we did a hydro seed. And 2 or 3 weeks into the hydro seed, we had a problem with pressure in our neighborhood. Some construction was going on, and so one of our zones couldn't grow because it couldn't get any water, and it's kind of a debacle. So that grass looked really horrible, never really caught on. It was just really patchy. And so in frustration, I rented a sod cutter, and I cut it all out, and then I put sod in. So fast forward a couple of years, that sod area will grow in that it will be brown, you know, as it's coming in the spring. It will turn green, but it will not grow higher than a quarter of an inch. My mower has never cut a blade of grass in that area. It looks green. It looks okay, but it just doesn't get any higher. And I've done some research, and I'm just wondering if you have any tips on what I might do to make it so that it doesn't look weird.
When you purchase sod...
It almost looks like I have a putting green in my backyard.
When you purchase the sod... Was it just straight Kentucky bluegrass sod?
It was. So my yard is a Kentucky bluegrass and then a red fescue mix.
Okay.
What I hydroseeded. So that's what I got in my sod.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure that you didn't have the turtle turf that was common 10 or 15 years ago or something along those lines. It just doesn't grow that high. So when I see this, what I've noticed is that the soil underneath is really compacted or really heavy clay. And so where you hydroseeded, there was some paper mulch there, but when you tore it out, how many inches of soil did you take with what you tore out?
It was pretty, it wasn't a whole lot. And then I added topsoil once I cut it out. So net, it's pretty level, but.
Okay. So did you get the topsoil from just a local garden center, or where did it come from?
It was just one of the sod centers that's in Utah County that ships it in from southern Utah.
Okay. So here's what I would do. I'd test the soil in that area and make sure that it doesn't have any nutrient deficiencies, really focusing on the soil you hauled in. Just to make sure that there's nothing going on with it, but I would really look at your soil texture, because anything can be sold as topsoil, and anything real pretty much can be screened. And it doesn't mean that it's magic or even good. Just topsoil is the top 6 inches of soil. So I would have that done first, but I would suspect that you're probably dealing with a nutrient deficiency and or compaction along with heavy clay in there of some sort of combination of those.
Okay. If it is compaction, is there anything I can do?
aeration in the spring and fall. All that's right. what you would start with. And if that didn't work after a year or so, then you may have to resort to, if it's not a huge area, you can buy a water injected aerator that you just stab in one at a time and go 4 or 5 inches deep. That could take a while on a larger area, but that's, let's find that out first and make sure, and let's see if it is something to do with the soil.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call this morning. And the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Ton, our next listener is having a garden party on Monday, but they have places that they'd like to have some color. And could you recommend something they could plant now that could survive this extreme heat?
Well, if they're needing to get it to Monday, I think as long as it gets water, anything that they put in will look good until then. You know, that's a pretty short stretch, but if they're looking for something that's going to be just super heat tolerant, if they can find cosmos, those would be great. They're a little bit more of a meadowy English garden look. Just some of them are actually a little more formal. Some other ones they could look at are vinca. The annual vincas come usually in yellow or whites and pinks, sometimes purple, a lighter kind of lavender purple. Those are wonderfully drought hardy once they're established, but heat tolerant. And then verbena is another one that would work really quite well, along with lantana. The lantanas, I think, are really underused here. They are a little more expensive, but you can purchase one, and it'll grow 18 inches to 2 feet wide by the end of the season, and they just bloom like crazy. You know, they're used in Central Florida, South Florida as a shrub, but here we use them as an annual.
Mm-hmm. So would more mature plants do better than some brand new petunias or something like
that? Yeah, the brand new petunias would establish, but if they're looking for that pop, what they may need to do is buy a larger, almost like a planter basket or larger pots to plant. And maybe they could put the smaller ones around to fill in so they didn't have to just buy like instantaneous ground cover. But I think that it's late enough in the season, if they really want to show that, at least in the area they're holding their garden party, I would consider getting baskets or pots with bigger flowers in them to just give you an instant effect. And with those more massive root systems on them, it is also going to be a little easier to keep them watered if they're planted in the soil.
All right, let's take a call from Don in Layton. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Question. I have raspberries and some of the canes on the ends. The leaves are curled up and dried. And when I break the stems off on the inside, I have found these little white worms about 3/4 of an inch or an inch long. And I want to know how I can treat it and what it's called.
Well, it's going to probably be either rose stem girdler or the horntail wasp. And right now, if you, on those leaves that are curling up, on those canes, you're going to need to prune them out. So you're going to just clip at the top of the cane and work your way down about 3 inches at a time until you see healthy inside the pit that is looking healthy. It'll be a white or a creamy white. Where that worm has been chewing, it'll be a lighter brown, and you'll see almost like sawdust inside where it's eaten the cane. Now, normally, you start treating for that, especially with the horntail borer, when the leaves start to come up in the spring, to keep them out, and you spray two or three times with, there's a number of different sprays you can use. But once those raspberries start to bloom, you really can't use much except for maybe something like a spinosad, or maybe of the shorter lasting chemistries, there might be some spinosad or pyrethrums or something you could use, but you don't want anything with a residual longer than 2 or 3 days, and those are going to just be preventative, and they're already in there. And so your chance to really control these has really been diminished by not treating when those canes first started coming out of the ground.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have some plants that are in their lawn right now that are kind of rubbery and have taken off and are growing like crazy. They want to put them in their flower gardens, but they're concerned because their flower gardens have hard clay soil, and they're wondering if they could replant these plants as a ground covering.
So did they say what kind of plants they were?
They didn't. They just say that they're rubbery, and I can't imagine what that is.
Maybe moss rose, but I'm not sure. You know, if they've been established and then they try to dig them up and move them, that could really harm them. But if they were new and they just planted them in there within the last couple of weeks and moved them, they would be fine.
Yeah. So what if they, it sounds like they're more established. So how deep would those roots need to be?
Well, they could try digging 6 inches down, almost like taking blocks of soil out and moving them to the new location to where they have a lot of the roots, and trading the soil or replacing it. But if they just tried to bare root them especially, I think they would kill whatever they were moving.
Right. Is there something that they can amend their clay soil with that would be helpful in any way?
I would actually do that ahead of time instead of trying to do it when they move the the plants. Even if they could give it 2 or 3 weeks, I would just go get some compost and spread it a couple inches deep and then work it into the soil and let it break down a little bit and then move the plants. That compost in there will help out greatly. And if this is a perennial ground cover that dies to the ground, then as that decomposes, it'll work its way into the soil and help improve it. So it's a little, it's not completely self-sustaining, but it's pretty much there if they just keep working what was grown in the soil back in. But to move them and try to improve the soil the same day can be a little bit difficult.
All right. We just have about a minute and a half before the top of the hour news. Let's see if we can squeeze in Mark from Draper here. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. I appreciate your time. Look, I have a very old weeping willow that's got the bark at the base of the tree is brown and rust-colored, section of about 2 by 2. Wondering what that causes that.
Is it leaking any foamy white liquid?
Well, not that I can tell, but I just had it sprayed for aphids.
Okay, aphids wouldn't do that. It sounds like all that I can really tell you is it's a canker, most likely, of some sort. You know, there also could be some borers in there. There's a number of things that would cause discoloration on the bark. One thing you can do is just get a knife and right at the border of where that red and normal bark color is cut into there and see what the tissue looks like underneath. Under the red area, if it's, you know, brown and it's not alive, then you've got problems. And besides maybe cutting it out, there's not going to be a lot you can do.
Okay. Okay. So
before
maybe
you
take a look and cut.
Yeah, take a look, and before you just chainsaw that part of the tree out, let's make sure that it is a canker. And if you have questions, let's either hold you through, or you know, we could communicate some other way.
All right, Mark, thanks for your call. And the number to call, after the top of the hour, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back following the top of the hour news.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.